one of the things we get to today is how similar the board, the duties are of directors and officers of insolvent for-profit corporations are to the duties of directors and officers of insolvent not-for-profit corporations. That there's a lot of overlap there. And so when we've had this come up, both in the commercial and in the not-for-profit context, you know, every case is different. And there's always particular facts that may merit different guidance. But I generally do not encourage people to resign, because I think that it does nothing to stem any liability you've already incurred, and it may make things look worse. Again, there may be specific situations where that guidance would be different. Now, your other hypothetical is it makes sense for the board to ask people to resign. That may be different. There may be scenarios in which the board would ask people to step down if, for example, their presence on, if there has been some instance of self-dealing, if an individual is not coming to meetings, is not informing himself, is not properly discharging their own fiduciary duties. It may make sense for the board, in the exercise of its own fiduciary duties, if the board can articulate a reasonable basis why asking one or more individuals to step off of the board would be in the best interests of the organization and would serve the twin aims of maximizing value for paying creditors while also serving the charitable mission of the board, that may be a very reasonable step to take. It may also be a reasonable step to take to bring on additional board members with specific expertise in this area. Bringing in an individual or group of individuals who have specific expertise with turning around not-for-profit organizations that have experienced insolvency would, again, subject to the disclaimer that every situation is a little bit different, might be a very, very reasonable thing for a board to do to demonstrate and create a record that it's discharging its fiduciary duties properly.
Right. Okay. So we're at the point now where the board's been advised. They're all good. They're all good eggs. There aren't any issues with self-dealing or that they've really contributed to the situation. It could be because of the pandemic. It could be any other reason as to why this organization is going in a different direction. Sorry about my earplugs here. Before we, while we're consulting with you about, okay, there's bankruptcy choices here. Are there things short of bankruptcy that the organization can consider under state law, for example, less formal than a formal filing or considering filing? Is there a means to wind down the organization without going through a formal bankruptcy process?
Sure, yes. And it's really, really important. And I'll even, in answering your question, Jeff, I'll even tie it back to the discharge of fiduciary duties. You know, a deciding to file any organization, for-profit or not-for-profit, for bankruptcy is a really, really significant decision in the life of a board. It's probably the most significant decision a board will ever make. And so it has to be informed by, a specific rationale. And so filing for bankruptcy should be tethered to an attempt to take advantage of some provision of the bankruptcy code or something the bankruptcy code offers that is not available under state law. So to your point, there are, at least in New York where I practice, and I know you can speak in Texas, there are state law provisions for winding up and dissolving not-for-profit corporations. You often have to petition the highest court in the state or seek approval from the attorney general. You often have to make provisions for payments to creditors. And there could be a lot of situations, and certainly in my practice, there have been situations where it does make a lot more sense for an organization that is no longer financially viable to wind up its affairs outside of bankruptcy. Right. You know, one of the things we tell clients all the time that are experiencing significant financial distress and come to us in a panic and say we have to file for bankruptcy is we ask them, well, what's going to change the day after you file for bankruptcy? What's going to be different? What is the reason for filing for bankruptcy? They say, well, we can't make payroll. We're out of money. We have to file for bankruptcy. But those problems aren't solved by a bankruptcy filing. You don't unlock a bucket of money that you didn't previously have access to when you file for bankruptcy. And you don't suddenly have the cash flow to pay your employees. There are very good reasons to file for bankruptcy. And we'll talk about those as we go through. But it's important that those reasons be identified and they be achievable before an organization decides to file for bankruptcy. So one of the things that, and this is why we talk so frequently with clients about making sure you have the appropriate advisors on board when you're making these decisions and having these conversations, that one of the things a board has to do is be fully apprised of its state law options that are available to it short of filing a bankruptcy, because a bankruptcy filing is total. You can't sort of dip your toe in the bankruptcy waters as a for-profit or not-for-profit organization. You subject your entire organization to the supervision and jurisdiction of a bankruptcy court. And so whether it's a dissolution or in a winding up under state law, whether it is a state law approved transfer of the assets of the charity to another charity that serves a similar mission, those are all options that a board should consider in conjunction with deciding whether or not a bankruptcy filing makes sense.
Okay, great. Now, this is something you and I talked about briefly a day or so ago. Can a